Today, I'm going to talk about a very challenging topic, the gifts of tongue. This is a topic that you rarely heard in the pulpit. Before we go, maybe we open up our hands and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Father in heaven, we love you. You're the Father of light. You're the Father of all gifts. All good gifts come from you. So, Father, today we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, we command all the unbelief and all the doubts and all the fear to leave this sanctuary. We invite your presence. Speak clearly to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. I'd like you to stand up and read the scripture together. God's words are powerful when it was being read. Okay, so let's read it loudly. 1, 2, 3. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous power, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Please take a seat. This is the wonderful chapter on spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit gives to each person spiritual gifts as He determines. What is spiritual gifts? Actually, they are spiritual enablement. Holy Spirit enable us to do things that we cannot do by ourselves. Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts in this chapter, and they are all good. Paul said that the purpose of the spiritual gift is for the common good, not for yourself, for the common good. To build up the body of Christ so that the church can be strong and vibrant and can be a testimony to the world and ultimately bring glory to God. Amen? So today I want to challenge myself. I want to talk about the most controversial gift, which is the gift of tongue. Different people, different denominations, different churches hold very different views on this gift. There are 2 extremes. On one hand, some people elevate this gift above everything else. They believe that the evidence of being filled by the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue. Some even believe that if you don't speak in tongue, you are not really saved. I think this is obviously against the teaching of the scripture. This is one extreme. On the other hand, there's another extreme, okay? Some people are so afraid of this gift, they despise it, reject this, oppose it, and forbid others from exercising this gift in the church. I think this is also contrary to the teaching of the scriptures. How do you look at this gift? Will positively or negatively affect your acceptance of this precious spiritual gift? Speaking in tongue is not the only evidence for being filled by the Holy Spirit, nor is it the assurance of your salvation. However, it is a very precious gift to help us with a prayer life. So we should not elevate this gift above everything else. At the same time, we should not despise it or be fearful about this. Today, I come to you with humility and trembling. Really, I pray a lot before I come over here. I am no expert on this as well, okay? I just want to look at the scriptures objectively, and hopefully we can come up with an objective view towards this gift. May the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us. What is the gift of tongue? The word tongue comes from the Greek word glossa, okay? It has three meanings. Number one, your tongue. Stick out your tongue. Today, you can see my tongue. I take off my mask, okay? The human organ that allows you to speak, okay? The second meaning refers to a human language. A language that people would understand if they don't know the language, okay? And the third meaning is often referred to the prayer language that cannot be understood by your mind. It is a language that communicates mystery to God. So to give you a definition, speaking in tongues is when a person under the guidance of the Holy Spirit utters a language that he or she has not learned, or a prayer language that expresses mystery to God. The Bible records different kinds of tongues. The first occurrence is in the books of Acts, Acts chapter 2. This is a very familiar passage about the Pentecost. You all know that when the Pentecost, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for about 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven, right? And about 120 disciples gather in the upper room, not doing potlucks, okay? They were earnestly praying in one accord. And when the Pentecost came, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were gathering. And this is completely out of their control. They were all caught by surprise. Holy Spirit rests upon each one of them like the tongues of fire. And they were all filled by the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. You know, at that time, a lot of Jewish people coming from different nations gathering in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Pentecost. And when they heard this loud sound, they were all very amazed and come over to see what's happening. And then they saw and heard these 120 disciples speaking in different languages, human languages. As you know, the disciples of Jesus are Galileans. Galileans mostly speak 2 to 3 languages. They speak Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic. But the Bible records that they speak at least 15 to 18 different languages that this visitor knew about. And the contents were the same. They were declaring the praises to God, thanking him with all their might in languages that this visitor knew about. This is a miracle. We have about 150 to 60 people gathered here today. Let's say all of a sudden, boom! The Holy Spirit come upon us and every one of us speak in tongues, okay? So Pastor Douglas speaking, all of a sudden speaking Russian. Young in the back, all of a sudden speaking Korean. And Angus, while dancing, speaking Cambodian. And Elder Cliff, all of a sudden speaking French. This is a miracle. Brother and sister, miracle is a sign gift, okay? The spectator thought that the 120 disciples were drunk, but Peter seized the moment and began to preach Christ to them. As a result, 3,000 people were added to the church that day. So the first kind of tongues recorded were actually languages that people understand. The audience were for the non-believer gathered in Jerusalem. And the purpose is to testify that God is real, God is alive, and he is awesome. There's a story about a Japanese pastor who once preached in a Taiwanese church, okay? At the end of the meeting, he made an altar call to ask people to come out to receive the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongue. Many people came forward, and he began to lay hand on them and pray over them. However, there were a few older people, they were suspicious of this gift, so they remained sitting at the back and just observed from afar. And in the front, there was a 15-year-old girl being filled by the Holy Spirit, and she began to speak in Japanese. Actually, there was a similar occurrence in our church many years ago. One of our pastoral staff was filled by the Holy Spirit, and she began to speak in perfect Italian. Okay. So one elder, when he heard this young girl speaking in Japanese, and he has studied in Japan before, and he knew the language really well. So at the end of the meeting, this elder came forward and then talked to this girl in Japanese. But the young girl looked perplexed and had no idea what he was talking about. So the elder asked this girl, "Hey, didn't I hear you speak in Japanese just a few moments ago?" This little girl said, "When the Holy Spirit came upon me, I started to speak in a language that I do not understand. I don't even know that's Japanese." Some of you may know that our elder Joe's daughter, Rebecca, is studying abroad in Japan right now. If she is filled by the Holy Spirit, she does not have to go through language school. This Taiwanese girl speaking in Japanese was a sign to those who are suspicious of the gift, and it's evidence that the gift is real. Okay. Secondly, when the Bible talks about praying in tongues, it refers to the prayer language. What is prayer? Prayer is our communication with God, right? As children of God, we have the right and also the privilege to pray. Jesus, in Mark 16, verses 16 to 17, he gives this forward promise. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues." This is Jesus' promise before he ascended to heaven. Every believer who believes will be baptized and saved, and all these signs will accompany him. In the name of Jesus, we can drive out demons. And this promise is not only for a few elite, super spiritual people. This promise is for everyone. Every children of God has this power and authority to drive out demons. And Jesus said that all who believes will speak in new tongues. This is a new language given by the Holy Spirit. This is our right as well as our privilege. What is this new language that Jesus is talking about? Paul actually gives a very good definition in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2. "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mystery by the Spirit." When a person speaks in tongue, he is no longer speaking to other people. Actually, the audience is God. He's speaking to God, Paul said. Okay. And the content of his prayer are mysteries by the Spirit. Oftentimes, when we look at the word mystery, it refers to something that we do not understand. But in the Bible, mystery often refers to the will of God, his purpose, his plan that have not been revealed. Romans chapter 8, 26, 27, I think give us a very good basis to understand what it's all talking about. Paul said, "In the same way, the Spirit help us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercede for us through wordless groans." And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with, read it together, the will of God. Hallelujah. Paul is saying that when we pray in tongues, the contents are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. Brother and sister, do you know the will of God? How many of you know the will of God? Only a few hands. How many of you do not know the will of God? No one raised up your hand, so you don't know what, whether you know or you don't know, okay? It's a mystery. Isaiah 55, God said that my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Sometimes we don't even know what God's wills are for our lives. Paul is saying that when we pray in tongue, we are speaking God's thoughts, His purpose, His plan for our lives. And it covers all spheres of our lives, our finances, our relationship, our future, according to God's plan. Isn't it wonderful? When we speak in tongue, we are collaborating with the Holy Spirit. Our job is to speak, but then the Holy Spirit would give us the content. At the end of each worship service, the pastor usually bless you with the following blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. The fellowship, original word is koinonia, means the Holy Spirit walk with you, He talks with you, empower you, co-labor with you. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for everything that we do in all our ministry. Without Him, all our human efforts are futile. We have no power to heal the sick. But Jesus commands us to lay hands on the sick. And the Holy Spirit is the one who heals, right? We have no power to change people's hearts to believe in God. But our job is to preach and share faithfully. Holy Spirit is the one who convicts others of sin. Open his eyes to see that Jesus is the only Savior. Paul in Ephesians 6:18 said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15, he basically talked about two types of prayer. I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. He talked about two different kinds of prayers. They're quite different. Paul said that when I pray with my understanding, the contents of your prayer come with you from your mind, right? Your understanding, your mind, your thoughts, your ideas, your desires. To be honest with you, sometimes our mind is not that good, right? Sometimes our mind may be even corrupted. Human ideas, thinking, desires, oftentimes are not in line with God. What we think is good from our mind may not be good in God's eye, right? Actually, He may think that that's bad. What makes sense to us in our mind may not make sense to God. Moreover, when we give thanks to God and praise Him, sometimes we find out that our vocabulary is very limited. You want to thank the Lord. Thank you, right? How many ways can you say thank you? 谢谢, 多谢, 感恩, 아군아리가토고자이마스감사합니다 And then you run out of words to say. Men, especially, you are very limited in your vocabulary. We are very limited. When we get into argument with our wife, it's always a losing battle, right? Women speak way more vocabulary than us. So my advice to you is just shut up and say, sorry, honey, to avoid the bombardment, right? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we face different challenges and problems that we don't even know how to pray. Have you ever had that experience? We don't even know how to pray. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a prayer language that helps you communicate freely to God. When we pray in our spirit, the content of our prayer no longer comes from our mind. Rather, it is from the Spirit within us. We receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. It's like opening up a channel. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you freely. We do not try to come up with words to say. We bypass our mind. It's like a river flowing from within you and utter endless praise and thanksgiving to God. It's actually a very powerful gift. To be honest, we all struggle with our prayer, right? How many of you do not struggle with your prayer? Sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes even when we pray, we don't know what to pray. Holy Spirit, give us this gift to help us in our prayer life. This also cultivates our intimacy with God. We are a spiritual being living in a physical body. To connect with the physical world, we use five senses. Our eyes to see, our ear to hear, our nose to smell, our hands to touch, our tongue to taste. Brother, sister, we are also living in the spiritual realm. We need to develop this spiritual sense of seeing and hearing to connect with the spiritual world. When we pray with our understanding, we are operating in the physical realm. However, when we start to pray in the spirit, we suddenly are operating in the spiritual realm. And there are many benefits of praying in the spirit. Number one, when we pray in the spirit, our own spirit is being activated. Tell the one next to you, your spirit is activated, activated. Your spirit comes alive. Sometimes we're in a sleeping mode. Just like a car when it's idling, right? You have to start the engine. And then this car just all of a sudden come alive again. We deliberately choose to activate our spirit. Many people exercise to train our bodies, right? Build up your muscles, stamina, endurance, and try to look cool, you know? How many of us choose to train our spirit? Speaking in tongues will activate your spirit. It trains our spirit to communicate with God. The prophet Ezekiel, the other day when I read this, I was so excited. The spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. Your spirit is being activated. Secondly, the more we pray in the spirit, the more your spirit will be energized. Our spirit will be communing with the Holy Spirit, and He's going to fill us. And our inner man was being strengthened. As a result, your physical body will also be strengthened as well. Thirdly, the more we pray in the spirit, the more we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We will begin to receive thoughts, ideas, impression, mental pictures from the Holy Spirit. It will be easier for us to listen to the voice of God. I'm developing a habit of praying in the Spirit while I'm driving. It can be dangerous. But I found that this is a very good way to practice. You are alone in the car. No one can hear you. You can scream from the top of your lungs. Sometimes I was so into it, I don't even know I was driving. Maybe the one next to you saw that I was doing all this thing. I don't really care. Who cares? And last week, actually, was my birthday. And while I was driving, praying in the Spirit, I could hear clearly the voice of God. He said, today is not only your birthday. I'm going to regenerate you, give you a new birth and a renewal. So when I received this word, I was so moved and was so encouraged. Brother and sister, pray in the Spirit. We'll begin to hear the voice of God. And all other spiritual gifts are being unlocked as well. We begin to receive revelation, prophecy, words of knowledge and wisdom, anointing and power from the Holy Spirit. The fourth benefit of praying in the Spirit, we are changing our spiritual atmosphere around us. Psalm 8:2 said that through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy, hallelujah, to silence the foe and avenger. So the more we pray our Father in heaven, the more we praise Him in the Spirit, we are establishing a stronghold against our enemy. Many of us are under attack from the evil one. We sometimes feel the pressure, feel the spiritual darkness and oppression around us. If we choose to pray and pray in the Spirit, our spiritual atmosphere around us change. We can sense the presence of God, and Satan cannot come against you. Paul said that when we pray in the Spirit, we edify ourselves. The word edify means to build up, like building up a house. Our inner man, our spirit man is being built up, becoming stronger. Today, a lot of people train their mind by reading a lot of books, going to different seminars, or pursuing different degrees. A lot of people train our body, doing cardio, lifting weight, doing other physical exercise. How many of us are willing to train our spirit? Some may argue that, hey, this gift of tongue only edify yourself and does not edify others. It's a very self-centered gift, right? We should ask God for gifts that can help others, such as healing, or build up others, such as prophecy. But no. My question to you is, what's wrong with edifying yourself? What's wrong? What's wrong with building up your inner man? Actually, this is the most important. If you do not build up your own inner man or spiritual man, how can you minister to others? How can you build up others? Why do we read scripture and do TWA every day? Why do we fast and pray? Because we try to build up our inner man. Is the gift of tongue good? My conclusion is absolutely. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 18, said, I thank God that I speak in tongue more than all of you, okay? More than all of you, he means that he does not more than just one or two people. He's saying that more than all of the church of Corinth combined. If tongue is not good for our spiritual life, Paul would not have spoken so much in tongue. And because of that, he received much revelation from the Holy Spirit to write so many letters to the churches. That's why he was fearless as an apostle to the nations. Lastly, the more we pray in the Spirit, our own speech is also cleansed as well. Because the prayer language is a clean language. As a matter of fact, our tongue and our spirit are connected. If you don't believe me, I will show you two scriptures. Psalm 16, 9. Let's read this together. Therefore, my heart is glad. My spirit, my glory rejoices. My body also will rest secure. And then when Peter quoted this scripture at the Pentecost, he used a different word, nix. 1, 2, 3, let's read it together. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices. So my spirit my tongue in these two verses are interchangeable. Our tongue and our spirit are connected. When we use our tongue to activate our spirit is connected with the Holy Spirit. God's glory comes upon us, and our spirit will rejoice. And our body also will rest in security and hope. Body, soul, and spirit. Paul said that we need to pray with our understanding, but at the same time, we need to pray in the spirit. Okay, why? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, authority, powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul reminds us that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against who? The powers and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We need to put on the full armors of God, but at the same time, at the end, the most powerful weapons that we have is actually praying in the Spirit. Spiritual warfare is real, okay? If you want victory over your enemies, we need to pray in the Spirit. Satan is at work all the time. He's trying to pull us down. He's trying to cover you with darkness, spiritual darkness, make you feel depressed. He wants you to be in a defeated mode. How many of you have experienced like a sudden depression in your life? No one? Raise up your hand higher. Yeah. All in a sudden, you feel like this darkness and depression come upon me. I don't feel like going to school every day. How many of you do not want to go to school every day? How many of you don't want to go to work every day? You hate your jobs. How many of you want to give up, you know? Give up on my marriage. My marriage is so bad. Give up on my church. My church is so... Spiritual darkness hover over us. When you sense there's a spiritual darkness hover around you, we don't just pray with our understanding. We need to pray in the Spirit. Command the darkness to flee, right? When we pray in the Spirit, Holy Spirit come and He is light. And when light comes, darkness has to go. Oftentimes we face problems that are too big and too difficult for us. Maybe some of you have spouse or loved one refuse to come to know the Lord because of their stubborn heart. You have been praying for years, but there's still no change. Maybe there's strife and hostility and broken relationship in your family that cannot be restored, repaired. Issue, problems that are totally beyond us. You don't see any hope and breakthrough. Maybe your loved ones are afflicted with diseases that are not curable. When we come to the dead end and we do not know how to pray, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and help us to pray according to the will of God. We need to engage in warfare prayer, not only with our understanding, but also in the Spirit. How much time do I have? Should I close? 5 minutes? Okay. All right, so I have to fast. The gift of tongue is so valuable in our prayer life. However, when we use it or exercise it, Paul gives us some words of caution. Paul said that in a large gathering, something like this, especially when there are non-believers are present, we need to exercise the gift in an orderly manner. 1 Corinthians 14 said, "If anyone speak in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God." Paul here is not against speaking in tongue, okay? As a matter of fact, he said, "I wish every Christian speak in tongue." However, in a large group like that, when they're non-believer, when they come in, everybody was speaking in tongue, they thought that we are crazy, okay? Under those circumstances, the gifts must be exercised in an orderly fashion. One speaks, another interprets. If no one interprets, the speaker should keep quiet, but not shut up. He speaks to himself and to God. Brother and sister, this is such a powerful gift for our prayer life. God is willing to give us this gift. We yearn to be close to him. He's willing to give us this prayer language to help us to pray. Brother and sister, do you yearn for deeper intimacy with the Lord? Number one, we need to have this longing, desire within you. Secondly, we need to ask. Mark 11:24 said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Believe. Reject all the unbelief. Reject all fear of looking like a fool and being stupid. Lastly, by faith, received and practice. Let us focus on Jesus. Let us loving on him. With gratitude in our heart, begin to let that flow out from within you. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for your precious gift of tongue. We don't know how to pray. We acknowledge that our mind is very limited. Our mind sometimes can even be corrupted. My ideas, my thoughts may not be in line with your ideas and your thoughts. Because your ways, your ideas are higher than our ways and ideas. So Father, we come humbly before you. We hunger for closer intimacy with you. Would you please come? Open our hearts, open our ears to receive you, to listen to your voice.
Even as we prepare to respond to the Lord this morning, we're going to invite you to stand and to get into groups of three or fours. And I don't know where your heart is on this topic of tongues. For some of us, there may be fear. For some of us, there may be a hesitation. But really, it's about a longing. It's a longing to be closer to Jesus. It's a longing for more of him. And so I want to invite you to get into groups of three or four and to pray, to say, God, this is where I'm at. Here I am. But I want to long for more of you. I want to long for more of Jesus. And I want to long for more of your spiritual gifts. I want to long for this gift of tongues, if you so choose to give it to me. So let's spend a few moments in groups of three or four in prayer, asking the Lord to help us to pray, yearning to be closer to him, having a desire, asking even, daring to ask for this spiritual gift of tongues, and by faith, receiving it and practicing it. So right now, turn to your neighbor, and just a few of us lead out in prayer, even before we close in this song, just asking the Lord for more of his presence. If we have fear, that we just confess our fear before him. This is not meant to be a fearful gift. It's God's love upon us to be closer to him, to be yearning to be in his presence. Thank you. So God, as we come before you today, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you for your sweet invitation to your church today. Father, we ask God that as we come, as we seek your face, that Holy Spirit, you would come and minister to us, that you would pour down your gifts to your church today. Lord, not just the gift of tongues, but every gift, Lord, that you have in store for us. Father, we ask God that you would come in your might, come in your glory, Lord, that it would not just be for my neighbor, but it would be for me also. God, even as you have promised your church with your spiritual gifts, even with your gift of tongues, that you would come and give to us. Give to those who ask. Give to those that are hungry, that are longing, that are desiring, that you would come and fill us with more of you today. That you would pour out your gifts as you will, Lord, for your glory, for your sake. God, we ask, Lord, that by faith we receive whatever you have for us today. Lord, if it be the gift of tongues, we receive it and we want to exercise and practice it. Father, we ask God that you would continue to minister to us even as we respond to your Spirit today, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. This Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flow. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, this Holy Spirit. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence.
Pray that we'll continue to seek, and that we'll continue to ask, and God, that we'll continue to long for your spirit, for your presence. And even as we leave this place today, that doesn't change, that God, we're still seeking and we still want to find you. In Jesus' name, amen.